What is up, possums and listeners to IDP Plus? My name is Joe, Joe Wiggins. You can find me at OP Joe. And my cohort, co-host, Billy, host, partner, whatever you want to call him, Billy Mansell, find him at Ombre Vendor. Today, we're going to go over our rookie rankings. Something big happened last week. It was an NFL draft and some really good landing spots for these rookies. So we're going to dive into them, kind of give you an idea how we're feeling about them. While you are listening to this, please go over to idpguys.org and get the rookie cheat sheet, the rookie guide. It's awesome. Have it ready for your drafts. Guys, we have the player bios in there. We have instant reactions to landing spots. We've been doing mocks for this thing. So go in, check it out, see what you're going into with your rookie drafts. We've also done a fair amount of rookie drafts this far. So, yeah, we got some good insight as to what is actually going on these streets. Billy, what is up?
No, Joe, you make a good point. Also, everyone in there, if you're like, oh, I'm not really into Dynasty, like what, you know, I wouldn't really need this guy because I don't do rookie drafts, so it's whatever. This is going to be good for your actual drafts too. There's a lot of fantasy analysis in each profile. So when you pick up the guide, you can kind of get a leg up on all of your, you know, your home leagues that aren't really, you know, they watch the draft, they don't really know who's actually going to be effective. Like, oh, I've heard of Frank Gore Jr. Like that's a name. I'll just draft him. Well, see, this is where you could come in and be like, you know, that's a bad pick, but whatever. I'm going to get this guy over here that's going to be a starter, and that's going to be something you're going to have to deal with. So there is a reason to get it, even if you're in a redraft league as well. I just want everyone out there that doesn't play Dynasty just to think this is just Dynasty. Like if you know, are playing redraft, this is going to be helpful for you as well, just to get a, you know, a little leg up on your competition.
It's a really good point, man. I'm going on like two decades of just mopping up with the rookies in redraft leagues. So it's a very good tactic to have and definitely something you need to be paying attention to. So go check it out.
For sure. Thank you to everyone out there that joined us for the live stream on Thursday. It was fun. Again, if you've joined us in the past, you know how much fun we have during the first part, or, you know, when we're at listening to the draft and talking shit to each other and just kind of like giving our takes as they come in. That's always one of my favorite parts of the draft. And this one was no exception, Joe. It was just as much fun hanging out with Michael and him getting to see our dynamic, probably for the first time, because it's a whole different animal when you listen to us on a podcast or maybe you see a clip versus just us letting it fly unfiltered right at you. Like he was just on a roller coaster hanging on for dear life, right, Joe?
No, he really was, but he handled it admirably, and it was a great draft. My only thing, I didn't have my game face on because when Fields got drafted by the Bears, I was doing flips and shit, and Caleb Williams, who I'm way more excited about, by the way, got drafted, and I just sat there like, oh, sweet, that's awesome. So one of these shows, I will do a flip somewhere, and it'll be fun.
The thing is, Joe, like we've known about it for so long, it wasn't as much of a surprise as the Fields pick because you didn't know you were going to get Fields where you did in the draft. Whereas Caleb, we've been talking about him being a Bear for months now. So it wasn't, you know, I can at least see why in the moment you were just like relieved that the Bears made the right decision rather than like, you know, euphoric and jumping all over the place and breaking things.
That was actually it, man. That's a really good point because it was like, hey, we made the right decision. I was a firm believer that we were going to get to draft day and they were going to be like, oh, J.J. McCarthy's our pick. And I was like, what? You know? But yeah, no, the Bears did good.
No, the Bears did, in fact, not bear. But we will get into that more when we talk about the rookie rankings here in a little bit. But before we get to that, so out of all of the rookies, they all gave introductory press conferences, but one stood out among the top. So Joe, Keon Coleman was drafted by the Buffalo Bills, and prior to him actually answering any questions at the podium, he had this interaction with one of the reporters, and Joe hasn't seen the video. I have. I'm sure everybody out there, you may have seen it, you may not have, but just let's listen to this glorious audio because Keon Coleman is going to become a national treasure.
Huh? Nah, man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? You, guess where I got this from, though. That's what I'm saying. You got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess. Nah. Macy's. What you mean? They be on sale on the rack. All the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I'll take you there personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one. See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I get you. See, I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You gotta shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Cause you going Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
That is fantastic.
Joe, isn't he adorable?
Dude, that's incredible, and he is absolutely right. You should definitely do your shopping a season beforehand. It is so much cheaper. That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that come, and then I saw that come across the timeline. I was just like, this guy is awesome. And then there's another video floating around, which I don't have. But after the press conference ends, he asks if he can go get some of the snacks from the media table that's off to the side of the podium, and you can see the video follow him over there, and he like grabs like some pretzels or something. And it's just like, this guy's just like, I don't know, a genuinely good person. I don't know anything. I did not know anything really about Keon Coleman other than his play on the field, but just from that interaction he had, not knowing that the cameras were on, it's just like, this guy's just a sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to bump him up another spot in our rankings just because of that. Because I don't know, it's gonna be really fun in the season because now that the media's got a taste of it, that's all they're gonna want. So he's building his brand there, and it's gonna be a fun ride for the next hopefully 10, 12 years.
I know. I'm hoping and praying that the world decides to give us like a good person as, you know, a star. Not that other wide receivers aren't, but we have not actually seen many genuine interactions like this, at least not that I can remember, but it was just such a memorable moment coming out of the introductory press
shop like my mama. You buy it a season early,
right? Exactly. It's a nice little deal, Joe. Nice little deal. I like this guy. Like I have not drafted him on any of my rookie teams, unfortunately, but I'm going to have to make an attempt to get him in redraft if his rankings aren't too incredibly out there.
They're going to be a little bit all over the place. That's hilarious. I want to take my time here just to vent to you. Billy, you get to play a therapist a little bit. Let's do it. I was at work today and I had a lot of meetings going on, and we have a draft going on in our integrity league. And I was, you know, trying to get this pick because my guy is still on the board and I really wanted to take a stab at him. So I float an offer to a gentleman in this league. And what transpired after that literally made my brain short circuit, and I have not been the same person since about noon today. So I'm trying to make my move up for this guy. So I send him Justin Maladuke from Baltimore. Fantastic defensive tackle, had a career year. So send him Maladuke in an offer for the 309. That's what it was. It was the pick because my guy's still sitting there, and I'm like, man, I got to make a play into this and try to get him. He declines the trade and drafts Byron Murphy. Now, Byron Murphy going to Seattle, never a big sack guy coming out of Texas, right? Good player, a lot of pressure, never a big sack guy. So literally the best thing that could possibly happen to Byron Murphy is he gets 56 tackles, 13 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles. And that's like if the stars freaking align here, right? So best case scenario. And that is exactly what Justin had last year before he signed his massive contract, 26 years old, right in the midst of his prime. And it absolutely short-circuited my brain because if you're going to decline that trade, I get it. Not everyone wants to trade for a defensive tackle. You might have I got a sleeper wide receiver, a sleeper running back on the board, you know, even a linebacker. But you take a defensive tackle rookie going into a, you know, fairly populated depth chart in Seattle. Yeah. And I don't know, man. It just short-circuited my brain, and I've just been dealing with it all day. So needed to get off my chest because really stupid.
Now, in what you're saying here is kind of like one of the problems with rookie drafts. Now, most of the time, it's you draft a really good player to move up to like the 103 and grab, you know, one of the guys up there, Roma Dunze or something, in hopes that he could be somebody who is going to equal, I don't know, like AJ Brown. Not that you'd make that trade, but you would hope that they're going to be equal. But when you it's the exact same thing in that scenario where it's like you could have a really good player that's already established and doing things on the field, or draft somebody that you have no clue at all if they're going to be that good. It's what the Tennessee Titans did with the Eagles, where they just traded away AJ Brown and got what's
Treylon right there.
Treylon, yeah, and it wasn't the same. And that's kind of what this is, exactly the same.
It kills me. Rookie fever is real, and it pisses me off sometimes. And I don't know. It's the Family Guy episode where he's like, do you want the boat or the mystery box? Just like, I'm going to take the mystery box. It could even be a boat, you know?
It's like, it's literally the same thing. I almost feel like we should get that drop so that we can play it during the show, because it feels like this happens way more than it probably should. Like, this exact
scenario. It absolutely does. And my guy's still sitting there, so I'm going to keep floating trades out, trying to get him, and hopefully it happens.
Yeah, I've made some pretty aggressive moves. I'm not going to lie. Like, I know that I say this, or we as a collective say this every year, but some of these, like, fourth, fifth-round guys, like, I don't hate them. I kind of like being, you know, I'm trading back in, try to get some people, because I kind of like the people that are falling that late, because people are just going after names they know. Which is a dangerous thing to do, but hey, I mean, it's allowing me to scoop up some good talent here late in these drafts.
There's a lot of talent late in the draft. I mean, I was able to get Malik Washington like middle of the fifth. Who goes right after him? Spencer Rattler. come on, guys. What are we doing here? But
makes sense.
Crazy.
All right, well, let's get on to what we're talking about today. We are talking about our personal rookie rankings. Joe, Josh, and myself all ranked 50 rookies that are available in every draft, and made a composite. And so this is kind of the 50 best rookies in our opinion. We're going to go back through them round by round. 12. We're just going to pretend it's a 12-team league, and we're just drafted straight away. And these are the rankings in order of who we determine should be drafted in that order. So, Joe, without further ado, I'll name off the first 12, and then we can discuss. Number one, Marvin Harrison Jr. Number two, Malik Nabers for the Giants. Three, Rome Odunze for the Bears. Four, Caleb Williams for the Bears. Five, Xavier Worthy for the Kansas City Chiefs. Six, Brock Bowers with Las Vegas. Seven, Jonathan Brooks for Carolina. Eight, Ladd McConkey with the Chargers. 9, Jaden Daniels with Washington. 10, Keon Coleman to the Bills. 11, Trey Benson to the Cardinals. And 12, Brian Thomas Jr. to Jacksonville. Just going off of our consensus rankings, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze were all 1, 2, 3 in some specific, you know, in one type or order. How did you feel about those three being our top three?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I mean, Marvin Harrison steps right into a role where he's going to get a ton of love from Kyler Murray. So he's going to get a ton of targets. Malik Nabers is in a position where they have to build the entire offense around him. And you got Rome Odunze, who is tied to Caleb Williams for, you know, what we expect to be 5 years here at least, and probably longer. So out of these three, I love every single one of them. And, you know, you might have to wait a year, maybe two on Rome to get his full potential out of him, but we know he's an absolute stud, and I have no problem taking him as the third wide receiver.
I honestly think you're going to have to wait on Malik too, but I also had them flip-flopped. I had Malik 3 and Rome 2. I do think there's a chance Rome has a better season this year than Malik, just because I don't trust the Giants offense. They're not really a touchdown getting team. And although Malik Nabers is good, I think the supporting cast around him is garbage, just complete garbage, quarterback garbage, running back garbage, tight end just retired, Darren Waller, and a bunch of misfits at wide receiver. I don't know. I think they're a year away at least. I mean, that's with Daniel Jones. I don't know.
Yeah. So I can see your point there. I feel like he's so heads and shoulders above everyone else on this team that is literally just going to be their offense for a while. So, I mean, long-term, I like Rome better long-term. But we know how talented Nabers is. If they do get a better quarterback next year, year after, you're looking for a guy that's going to have an amazing career. But, I just think, you know, play with what you got. You got Malik Nabers, throw him the damn ball, see what happens.
That's fair. All right. Well, after that is kind of when we just started diverting off each of us. So number four was Caleb Williams. Look, I know you hate quarterbacks. You don't think they're worth as much. I put him at five. Josh put him at four. You had him at 10. I get why you do what you do with the quarterbacks, but I just think if you went into a draft and you needed a quarterback, having him be one of the top five or six players is not out of the realm of possibility. At least you know you're for sure getting a starter year one. You have one of the best rookie casts that we've all ever seen for wide receiver, tight end, running back. And, I mean, we just saw what C.J. Stroud did, and Caleb Williams is coming into a better situation than that. So I don't know if this is a case of just you wanting to kneecap your own Bears or you legitimately think Caleb Williams is not going to be better than some of these other guys here.
No, I love Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be absolutely awesome. And I see your argument that, you know, when you draft Caleb Williams on your team, you have a guy who we expect to be an all-star quarterback for, I don't know, 15 years at least. That's kind of what these quarterbacks do. So in Dynasty, if you're able to get one of these guys on your team, it creates – just gives you a ton of value. The way I play Dynasty, I do not value the quarterback near as much as a lot of people do. We've been over this a million times, so that is why I have him at 10. But I am not arguing having him in the top five at all just because of his skill. It's just me personally, I cannot walk up there and turn in my draft ballot for a quarterback that high in a non-superflex.
I figured that was what your reasoning was going to be. I personally have – I don't – other than the startup draft, I've never drafted a quarterback in Dynasty, like in the top 10 at least. I don't know. Maybe I drafted somebody later. But, like, I've never been one of these people – one of the people that has grabbed one of these top quarterbacks. But I also can see it from somebody who doesn't have one. Like, you know, I traded and got Brock Purdy. That's a starter right there. You could probably end up with a starter too. I just think if you wanted to go ahead and grab, if you think this guy's going to be Mahomes and good on your team for 15 years, if your dynasty league even lasts that long, I can see why, you know, just grabbing a cornerstone would be a good choice. But we don't need to spend too much time with Caleb Williams, but I think we see the two different sides of the coin with how people might play from a quarterback perspective. So number five was Xavier Worthy. You had him at four. I had him at nine, and Josh had him at six. Do you want to explain why you love Xavier Worthy?
Yeah, you caught me in a weird time in my relationship with Xavier Worthy. The whole pre-draft process, I was completely off of him. I was arguing tooth and nail that he shouldn't be seen as a top four receiver in this draft class, mainly due to his size. You know, he's had the concentration drops, however you want to say it. Then the Kansas City Chiefs not only select him, but they trade up for him. He was the guy that they were targeting. That's who they wanted. I'm just in my brain, I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes throwing that deep ball that MVS dropped every single time last year to Xavier Worthy. I mean, that's six touchdowns right there if you go back and count how many of those that MVS dropped. So I'm seeing Xavier Worthy working underneath. I know that's kind of Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce's role, but, I mean, you give him a little dump off. Next thing you know, you get 10, 15 yards. And the deep ball guy. And now I kind of got blinded by the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Andy Reid's going to figure out a way to scheme this guy open. We know we just got the news out today that Rashee Rice may miss half of the season. That's not definitely not ideal for the Chiefs, but
nope.
I still think he's your alpha. I know he kind of works underneath a little bit more. He's not your deep ball guy, but you don't have to throw the deep ball every time if you're Patrick Mahomes. You want to work the middle of the field. You got Kelce there. You got Wiley there. You just have a bunch of the same guys on this team. I mean, I know Kadarius Toney to this point has not been what we expected him to be when he put up that 200-yard game for the Giants, but he's still on the team. I just feel like Xavier Worthy is going to have his awesome games, and I just don't think it's going to be consistent. If you want to tell me he's going to be DeSean Jackson, that's awesome. We know how Andy Reid used DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he ever had a top five finish in fantasy, did he?
I can't recall it.
I will try to look that up. But okay, that's my thing with these speedsters. I want the guys that are getting the ball. You know, I'm getting 10 targets a game. I don't think that's Xavier Worthy. So I do have him at four. I think he's a hell of a player, but I have been in the situation where I've been able to draft Xavier Worthy three times, and I have passed on him three times and taken somebody else. So I think I need to reevaluate that one.
So, like, I, like most of the fantasy community, including yourself, was like, he went to the Chiefs. This is an automatic slam dunk. But then I sat on it for a night, and I thought, and I really, really, really thought about it. And I ended up texting you and Josh the next day saying, like, man, I actually don't know if I love this for the Chiefs, because I don't think this is the kind of receiver they actually needed on this team. They have drafted the Sky Moore piece. That hasn't worked out. They traded for Kadarius Toney. That hasn't worked out. They drafted Mecole Hardman. That didn't work out. And they just signed Hollywood Brown to a, literally the speedster role on this team, given it's a one-year deal. So, mind you, for dynasty purposes, he could be good. Or, you know, he could take that spot next year Worthy. But I just don't see him being anything more than like two catches for 70 yards, which is incredible. But I just feel like that's the ceiling. I don't think you're ever going to have a six catch. Well, there'll be some games, but like, I don't think it'll be a regular thing that he's having like six catches for 120 yards and a touchdown. I don't think that's going to be a regular occurrence. I think that's going to be, you get 1 or 2 weeks of that, but then there's going to be a lot of those 1 for 25 games where he's just being used as a decoy while Travis and Rashee Rice eat under the, you know, in the middle of the field. I just personally, I think that this is a lot of a flashier play than a lot of people are making it out to be. I also have mentioned to you guys that Tyreek Hill is the only wide receiver Patrick Mahomes has ever produced. Will he ever produce another one? I don't know. And is Xavier Worthy going to be that guy? I really don't think so. I think it's going to be Rashee Rice. I know Patrick Mahomes isn't going to produce two because he hasn't done that. So I don't know. I don't know if I believe in it as much as I initially did when I saw he went to the Chiefs. I just – even with the trade-up, I just don't know if I believe in it.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I guess really the question is, when you're looking at the wide receivers on the board here, I mean, I would rather have Ladd. I've made that decision. I've taken Keon Coleman above him, and I've taken Brian Thomas above him at this point. So, I mean, really, I guess you get that Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, A.D. Mitchell range. And, I mean, I would take him over those guys, but I kind of think that's where you have to have him if you need a wide receiver on your team.
I just think if I was up and there was somebody else in my league that was like, Xavier Worthy on the Chiefs is available, let me trade you something for him, I'd probably take that. I'd probably take the trade. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. This is going to sound crazy off the rip, but I think you could probably get, like, Michael Pittman for him. I really honestly think that. I think somebody would probably trade you Xavier Worthy at whatever pick you took him for Michael Pittman, and I think Michael Pittman's ceiling is way higher than Xavier Worthy's, at least for the short time. Maybe – in a couple of years, I'll be completely wrong about this, and I'm prepared to be wrong about this, but I don't know. I think I'd rather take a proven guy and have one of these guys that's like, I'm getting the guy that's linked to Mahomes. Like, that's your thing then, buddy, because I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on this one. When I go back to my ranks, that one will be changing. I still like the player. He went, 104 in one league we were in. I saw him go 2-2 in another league. So you're getting drastic value changes, really, with everyone in the back end of this first round. You never know what you're going to get when you get up to take your pick here. So I'm sure we'll see that solidify after a while. But just looking back, DeSean Jackson's best finish was wide receiver 12 in a PPR. Never finished. 19 was his second best one, and most of them were over 20. So we love those
speedsters. It's crazy because I seriously do not think about DeSean Jackson as only being a 12.
Yeah.
Never would have imagined that being true, but it is. So
when I think back, man, I just, watch all the huge games that he had. And in a best ball, Xavier Worthy might be your dude. So don't be afraid to go grab him. But, I always see him as like a top 10 perennial wide receiver, and he was not that guy.
Definitely an underdog star as well. All right, we'll kind of skip through these next couple quickly just because I don't know if there's a lot to talk about with them. But Brock Bowers, we have him at number 6. I think that's about right. Like, the team is kind of strange this year. Their quarterback situation is a weird situation. They don't have a running back. The wide receivers are great. And then Brock Bowers, they just drafted Michael Mayer to be on the other side of them. So I don't really know what that's going to mean for fantasy this season. I definitely love the talent, and they're definitely going to have to find a way to get him involved because of how good he is. I just don't know for this, like, for this upcoming, I don't even know what it looks like, Joe. I don't even know how to predict it right now, because I don't think the finished product, we can't even imagine what that looks like right now.
No, you're right. When I'm looking at this, I mean, personally, I think Bowers is going to be your wide receiver too. I think he's going to slot right into that, get the second most targets behind Devontae Adams. Devontae, and then, yeah, Jacoby Myers is just going to kind of clean up underneath, and Trey Tucker's going to get his deep shots. Mayer's probably fifth on that list, I would imagine. So I am fairly
high on the running back, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think Zamir White, he caught a couple balls last year. They did draft Dylan Loeb. I can't ever say his last name properly, but I think Brock Bowers is going to get fed. I really do.
I hope so, because he is too good of a weapon to just put on the shelf for a season. He's not that kind of guy. I don't know what the Raiders are going to be trying to do this season, but, you know, if they put Gardner Minshew in there, I mean, let's eat. You know, let's not wait. Let's eat. So hope that goes well. Next, we have our first running back off the board with Jonathan Brooks. Look, this is a weird situation in that backfield right now. Jonathan Brooks coming off of injury. They got Chuba Hubbard there. They got Miles Sanders under contract. My thinking is that one of those running backs is not going to be on this roster in, you know, by the time training camp starts. Just, I don't know, Joe, just an inkling I have that there's no way that all three of those guys is going to be on this roster. But, you know, there's a chance. So I don't know if his touches are necessarily going to be heavy this season, but I do think midway through the season and on, he might be a league winner. I think we're going to be talking about him about the time we're talking league winners. What is your thought?
No, I agree with you. I think what's going to happen with Jonathan Brooks is you're going to get all this positive reporting, and then training camp is going to come, and you're going to be like, you know, he's not. I mean, they said he was going to be ready June 1st. I don't believe that at all. So you're going to get that, you know, he's not quite ready, and then the preseason is going to come. And, not quite that ready. He's going to miss week one, and then we're just going to continue with this until, you know, like come November, they're going to be like, all right, he's ready for action. And he's going to go out, have two games where he gets 5-6 carries, and he's going to look awesome. And then all of a sudden it's going to be his backfield, I think, is what we are going to see with this. I mean, that whole offense, you finally got Bryce some weapons. I mean, Legette looks, I really actually like him in that offense quite a bit, pairing him out there. They got Deontay Johnson, who is still in the prime of his career. You got JT Sanders at tight end. You've got the running backs there. Mingo has less pressure on him. And you have old man Thielen there, who is just reliable as a comfy little blanket. So I like this offense as a whole. And if all of that clicks, Jonathan Brooks absolutely can be a league winner at the end of the year. I'm just not buying the crap where they're saying, oh, he'll be ready week one. No, no.
Yeah. I don't know. I did not love when it was the Panthers that selected him. I'll just put it that way. That was one of my more disappointing moments of the draft, especially when dumbass Jerry Jones at the end of the first day of the draft said, we're really looking for Jonathan Brooks tomorrow. And then why would you even let that be known, Jerry? Come on, bud. You knew somebody was going to swoop in and take him. And that's exactly what happened. And now the Cowboys are in a shit situation, and Jonathan Brooks, for the time being, is in a shit situation, because if they don't get rid of any of these running backs, they're paying Miles Sanders too much money. Chuba Hubbard looked better than Miles Sanders. And then you have a rookie in there that's coming off of an ACL. So I think all of the three of those guys would be involved. And that is a boiling pot of mush, Joe, I don't want any part of.
Should Harbaugh be on the phone with the Panthers, seeing if he can get Miles Sanders to run behind that excellent offensive line that he has put together? I mean, I know.
I think it's going to be the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to – I don't know if they're going to trade or just pick him up straight off after they cut him probably. But my thought is that the Cowboys are going to just swoop up whoever they get rid of. I know they signed back Zeke. I'm not worried about old man Zeke. I know he looked good last year, guys. I know. I've heard all of the like – oh, well, if you look at his numbers compared to blah, 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 I don't care. Like, they need an actual running back there, or this team is not going to be very good with the Cowboys. So hopefully that's one team that one of these guys can go to.
This is just something that, I mean, Sanders has been a buy low for me. After this pick, he was no longer a buy low for me, but I think I'm back on this train of take a shot at Sanders because I don't know. I don't know if the talent's still there, Billy, but
the whole team was bad for Carolina last year. I don't think anybody should be judged off of what happened with that team last season. The whole thing was horrible. Not going to be much better this season, but we'll get to that when we get to the team previews. All right, let's go on to one that I know you've already changed your mind, so I we're just going to have to discuss it that way. But Ladd McConkey was number 8. I have him at 4. Josh has him at 5. Joe has him at an astonishing 12. Joe, what would your new ranking be? Because I believe that you've changed your mind since making this decision.
Yeah, I think I was looking at it. I'm going to flip Xavier Worthy and Ladd McConkey. That's how I'm going to get it done. It looks – it's really easy to do on Excel too, so that's another reason that I'm going to do that. I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, you got 395 targets vacated from that offense last year. I was down on Ladd because he never really had the college production. That was, you know, he was a great blocker in college. So I was like, oh, there goes Harbaugh taking a blocking receiver and all that. So I was kind of down on it. But the more it simmers with me, Ladd McConkey is that dude. And I mean, is 140 targets realistic? Year one,
oh,
maybe
for sure.
Even more than that. Yeah.
Here's the thing that everyone out there needs to realize. This is Justin Herbert's Austin Eckler. It's not a running back. It's going to be this guy. It's going to be Ladd McConkey. He's going to be catching all these goofy balls. You know, he's not going to be running. The running back position's still up for debate. But as far as like the one catching these dumb little dump off passes that are going to go for 6-7 yards, it's going to be McConkey. He's going to be catching 9 balls a game. He might only get like 70 or 60 yards. It might be a touchdown, but in PPR, that's, you know, that's a knock out of the park. I think this is one of the better situations that he could have gone to. At first, I was like, I don't really love him. He's not really a one receiver. But then I thought back to, like, who is going to take Austin Eckler's spot? It's McConkey. McConkey is the answer.
That's brilliant saying that he's Eckler because it makes a lot of sense. I mean, watching his tape, you got to love the kid. He's awesome. He's extremely dangerous in space. He can line up everywhere. So I was just kind of like, I don't really know. And the Chargers, I've just been kind of down on as a whole. I've been trying to convince myself that QJ is going to be something this year, but it's not going to happen. So might as well be Ladd McConkey. So, yeah, he would be my wide receiver 4 there.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I wasn't really on McConkey this entire process, but just like this is the crazy thing the draft can do to you. Like I was not really a fan of him the whole time. He lands with the Chargers. I can immediately envision how he's going to be using that offense. And I'm back in. And I think he is going to be a steal in redraft. I don't think anybody's thinking about this dude. I am sure he is going to be a fantasy, like, you know, the Matthew Berrys of the world, and everybody's going to be all over this guy. So I'm sure there's not even going to be a chance to get him cheap. But in case any of your league mates out there aren't really like paying attention that much, you heard it here first. Ladd McConkey is going to be a steal and redraft. You're going to get him, I think, at 7th, 8th round, and you're going to get a potential league winner right off the bat, right there, because of the amount of volume he's going to get. Because it's going to be a run heavy team. He's going to be the guy that they use to get those first downs when it's 3rd and 5.
No, I completely agree with you, and I just want to let you know that Matthew Berry is already all over this dude. Apparently, he plays in a league with a friend of the show, Andy Behrens, who makes them draft before the draft happens, which I've been
shooting for. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I want to do that everywhere. No one will ever get on board with that. I know you will, but not everyone's as crazy as we are.
We got to find 10 more of us.
Shouldn't be that hard. Possums, let's do it. He drafted Ladd McConkey in the 2nd round, and he is victory lapping the hell out of it. So I imagine come June, we're going to hear Ladd McConkey's name a ton. Hopefully he doesn't get too inflated on his value.
Yeah. When we start talking like 4th round, like legitimately talking to him, like, oh, this is Keenan Allen. Like that's when I'm going to be like, okay, let's relax just a
the tad. Keenan Allen comps are out there, Bill.
I'm sure they are, Joe. I'm sure they are.
Now, if he shows up with that gnarly beard, that Tech 9 beard that Keenan Allen has, then we're screwed. He's going to go in the first round. But
that would be absolutely incredible. Okay, let's move on to Jaden Daniels quickly. I promise, Possums, we're going to get through this whole list in a more timely fashion. But this first round is pretty important in every draft we're in, so that's why we're kind of breaking down these picks a little bit more than we will the later ones. But Jaden Daniels was 9. I had him at 6. Joe had him at 11 because he hates quarterbacks. Josh had him at 9. A little confused what Josh was thinking, because if you're in on quarterbacks like Caleb Williams, then you should really be in on the dual threat rushing attack that is Jaden Daniels. Now, I mind you, he's not as much of a designed runner as like Lamar or Anthony Richardson, so it's not a guaranteed amount, but he is a fantastic scrambler. And while I think in year one, he's going to be using his legs a lot more than he is an entire career, I think that this is the year to grab him. You're going to, you know, I would grab him and then grab somebody late that you'd like Gardner Minshew or something that you would feel more like safer with. But I think this year, Jaden Daniels, you're going to get a ton of rushing profile or rushing upside. So I would go ahead and grab him, to be honest.
Yeah, and if you're absolutely insane, you could make the case that Jaden Daniels needs to go before Caleb Williams.
I don't hate that, actually.
No, he's absolutely electric. He's going to give you the floor of the rushing quarterbacks. And I know Caleb rushes, but I think with everything the Bears have built around Caleb Williams, they're like, hey, stay your ass in the pocket. You know, we're not trying to get you killed out here like Justin Fields got killed. So I think with Jaden Daniels, you're getting a guy that's being put in a really interesting situation, because where he excels is those deep balls. And you have two deep ball receivers that just absolutely excel in it on this team already. And then you get the rushing upside. The only knock on Jaden Daniels is his frame. I mean, how many hits is he going to be able to take? We saw him at LSU get lit up a couple times, and it's only going to come harder and faster in the NFL. So,
well, and then, Joe, I mean, just to remind the class, what quarterback was the sack the most last season? Oh, it was Drake May for the Washington Commanders. So, like, it's not necessarily going to get better year one with Washington. The team is a little bit better, but, yeah, just taking Drake May's lead there with the sack.
You mean Sam Howell.
Sam Howell. Wow. Okay. Making another.
I was so confused at first. I was like, I don't know where he's going with this.
My bad. Different North Carolina quarterback. Yeah.
It's hard to talk about all these names all the time, man. It's.
Well, especially when they're from the same school. And I thought Drake May was going to Washington, so that didn't help either. So, he's going to end up like Sam Howell. There's a lot of sacks for last season, yada, yada. I don't know. If you like Caleb Williams, I think you got to like Jaden Daniels for the same reasons as, like, he's got a lot of upside as a potential rusher. But those are the only quarterbacks we have for a little bit, so we'll get back to those in a minute. Number 10, we have Keon Coleman. I had him at 10. Joe had him at 8. Josh had him at 11. Listen, we might be too low on him because he's profiled as the wide receiver 1 here for them. But I can see a world where the ball spread out pretty evenly here between Cook in the backfield, tight ends, Khalil Shakir, you know, all yada yada. I can see a world where he's not necessarily like a bang number one receiver.
No, and I absolutely agree with you there. I'm very high on Keon Coleman here. Again, he's the opposite of worthy. I was really high on him, and then I wasn't. Now I'm back on it through this process here. But Keon Coleman, my argument for Keon Coleman is he is so different than anyone else they have on that team. And everyone else they have on that team is kind of the same guy. Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid. I mean, they're kind of the same exact short yardage, you know, pick up the tough yards in the middle guy. And then you got Keon Coleman, and I'm sorry, Josh Allen, when I think of him, I don't think of the dump offs. I think of those, you know, when Kansas City and Buffalo were throwing those 60 yard passes with ease, and Diggs was coming down with them. Gabe Davis was coming down with them, and that crazy finish we had in the fourth quarter. So we know that Josh Allen has a crazy arm. I know Keon Coleman's not as fast as Stephon Diggs, but he has a way bigger catch radius. So he doesn't have to be. And I think a lot of those targets are going to go to Keon Coleman. And I think he's going to be more of your big play. I can see 10 targets a game for him. 8 to 10.
Yeah. And I think there's a chance that, you know, 7 for 74. Like that seemed like a good average for him potentially.
315 targets that we got to make up here. And we brought in Curtis Samuel. That's it. So.
Like, yeah, I just assume like Kincaid's gonna get more. I assume Cook's gonna get more. I don't even know what Shakir's gonna do. I still don't know what this wide receiver core is going to look like. You have a rookie in Shakir as your top two, and then Kincaid. I don't feel like how are you gonna beat the Chiefs with that? But whatever. That's not, you know, not exactly what I'm going to be the one figuring out. And who knows? Maybe they become a run heavy team, Joe. Maybe they just say, you know what, we're just going to do away with the pass heavy stuff, and we're just going to be a run team. Maybe that's the situation we got going on here. I don't know.
It might be. Whatever. We need to get Tyler.
Whatever Boyd. The case. Like, yeah, sure.
We need to sign. He would be your Tyler Lockett in that offense all day. And
sure, it'd be go fun. Get Zay Jones. They had him once. I'm pretty sure he played for the Bills once. Add more weapons. Can't hurt Josh Allen. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what the Bills can do. All right. Last one in round one is Trey Benson. I had him at 12. Joe had him at 7. Josh had him at 10. My only reasoning is I do think James Conner is going to get the biggest work share in this team, but I do think there's a chance Trey Benson breaks into that role and steals some of the carries. I just don't know what, unless James Conner gets hurt, how he's going to be good in year one. But I think in the future, we're talking about this being Trey Benson's team.
Yeah. It is going to be Trey Benson's team in the future. I love that. I mean, they took him top of the third. They invested the capital in him. There's no one else on that depth chart. I've been making the case for Michael Carter. This was kind of what I was envisioning is James Conner. We know his injury history. He's 29 years old. He's not going to be able to just be the bell cow for too much longer. So you got to get someone else in this offense. You know, they've got a crazy line with Paris Johnson there. They got Marvin Harrison on that team now. They got Trey McBride. This offense is actually looking pretty nasty on paper. So I want whatever running back is behind that. And Trey Benson has the talent to push James Conner in camp, and then I think he's another guy we just see ramped up until the middle of the season, where especially with Connor's injury history, I mean, he could be a league winner as well. So I'm more than happy to take that shot at 7.
It's true. I just like my biggest fear is that like this is a Ken Walker Charbonnet situation where we like build myself up and thinking that it's going to be like a 60-40 Walker scenario where it was more like a 70-30, 75-25 situation. Whereas, like, when the injury happened, that's when Charbonnet became valuable. That's kind of what I see happening, at least for this first season. Now, in the future, I see them ditching Conner and then getting Benson in there and it just being Benson's team to roll with, I think. Like, so it's a good pick, I think.
Yeah, and I think long-term, I mean, last year we have to remember that Trey Benson was coming off of the ACL. And then so he wasn't fully healthy. He has a lot of Breece Hall to his game, and we know Breece Hall hits those home runs all the time. So he might not even need any more than 10, 12 carries a game, you know, similar to your Jahmyr Gibbs, your Breece Halls, you know, be very effective with less carries. So, I mean, I think you're getting a guy that's going to be very usable right now. And then in the future, I mean, he's going to be killer.
I think you're right about that. All right. And then the actual last one of the first round, I think I said Trey Benson was the last one, but the actual last one of the first round is Brian Thomas Jr. Look, let's not be silly. They got rid of Zay Jones after this move. He's going to be a pretty effective part of the offense. I do think that his route tree is a little bit more open than Calvin Ridley's was. I know Ridley was complaining at times last season about the routes that he was being given. And I think Brian Thomas can be the guy. Look, he had 20 touchdowns. He led the LSU in touchdowns with Malik Nabers on the team. So wasn't by mistake. And I think Trevor Lawrence is going to love having this guy on his team. I think he's going to be competing right away to have a lot of yards. My only issue is the Jaguars as a whole are just going to cannibalize each other with Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, you know.
No, your fears are warranted. I was actually fairly low on Brian Thomas. I didn't take him twice. I took others before him. But when they released Zay Jones, I became more confident about this pick. Listen, you can't teach the size. You can't teach the speed. Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback than we have seen from them. And he's super young. Brian Thomas is super young. So he's going to get better. They're going to coach him up. And I think of any of these guys that you are getting, even over Ladd McConkey and Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas could be in the conversation with Rome, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison by the end of his career. It wouldn't shock me if he was even better than a couple of them. It also wouldn't shock me if he was not even in the conversation at all in this draft class. So it's a high risk, high reward. I love what he's able to do. The late breakout was weird. But he's super young and he'll get better. So I had to take a shot on Brian Thomas in the league, and I did it just because I don't want to miss out on it.
Yeah, no, I can't blame you at all. I totally understand what your reasoning is there. Okay, I'll just quickly read off our 12 through 24, and we can kind of quickly bust through those really quick. Said really quick like five times there, but really quick. Let's really quickly do this. Roman Wilson. Wow. Roman Wilson is 13, Jalen Wright 14, Drake May 15, Ricky Parasol for San Francisco 16, Blake Corum with the Rams 17, Adonai Mitchell for the Colts, J.J. McCarthy number 19 for Minnesota 20, Xavier Leggett 21, Marshawn Lloyd 22, Jalen Polk 23, Bucky Irving, and 24 is Troy Franklin. Roman Wilson, I don't think we really need to talk about it that much. He landed it as the wide receiver 2 on Pittsburgh. He's a better person than most wide receivers, so I kind of glad they have a guy there in Pittsburgh that's finally going to put his head down and work rather than cry and complain like they have a history of drafting. Do you have any quick thoughts on Roman Wilson?
No, you hit it right on the head. I mean, Roman Wilson, he's very similar to George Pickens in their game. I mean, they're kind of more of your deep guys. I think Roman Wilson's going to work the middle of the field a little bit more. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. But do not bet against the Steelers and second, third round wide receivers. Just do the right thing. Take him. He's going to have a good career.
Exactly. All right. On to 14. This is where I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. 14, we have Jalen Wright. I have him at 11. Joe has him at 13 and Josh has him at 19. I have a suspicion why he did that. Joe, what would your reasoning be for putting Jalen Wright up that high?
I love the talent. I love the fit in the offense. He's one of the best pass protectors coming out of college already. And Devin Achane's tiny and he gets hit a lot. And I know why Josh has him at 19 is because he has Devin Achane. That's
exactly it.
I mean, God, I can't think of the guy's name. The guy that scored 20 fucking touchdowns.
Mostert.
Yeah, Mostert. We know his health history. He's 32 effing years old. Achane's small. They picked Jalen Wright to be their number one running back. Maybe not this year, but by midseason, he's another guy. He was going to be the number one on this team with Achane going in. So people are absolutely sleeping on Jalen Wright right now, guys. I mean, he's going end of the second, early third in some drafts. Get him on your team. What are your thoughts?
Joe, you hit the nail on the head. We have the same thought here. I'm glad Josh isn't here because we would have to be having a therapy session. Jalen Wright is a successor for Mostert. It's not Achane. Jalen Wright is the guy you're going to want on your team because he's going to be the RB1 on this team as soon as Mostert is done doing. Look, he is a rocket ship. We're not going to take him away until he's done completely. But as soon as Mostert's done, it's Jalen Wright's team. It's not Devin Achane's team. I know why Josh ranked him high or low because he thinks that it's going to be either 50-50 or it's going to be Achane with a little bit of Wright. It's definitely going to be right with a little bit of Achane, unfortunately. So I'm dead with you, Joe. It sucks for Achane owners, but they had to know it was coming eventually.
Yeah, I had this conversation with Josh yesterday, actually, and I mean, he was dropping names like Savon Ahmed and Jeff Wilson as to why Jalen Wright is not going to be the number one on this team before long. And I disagree completely. He is like my favorite person in this draft. I have traded everywhere to try to get him on my team. I know you took him in a league very high as well, but people are absolutely off the rocker on Jalen Wright. They have no idea what's about to happen. So get him.
Yeah. So everyone out there is listening. I know we've ranked him this low, so it does appear as if like we're kind of down on him too, because he's not in our top 12. But let me just tell you, like, it's not for a lack of his ability or anything. It's just like we kind of like the guys ahead of him a little bit more with the situations.
No, just it's Josh. It's Josh.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to say that. You would have been a first pick if it was. I had him in my top 12 because I had him in 11, so I fully prepared for this. But, yeah, okay. Good to know that you're thinking the same thing as me, because Josh would be here irate right now for Devin Achane because he has him on his team. All right, we'll get through these next couple pretty quick. Drake May. I have him at 14. Joe has him at 22. Josh has him at 14. I kind of agree with you on this one. I don't think Drake May is going to play at the beginning of the season for sure. So, like, this might be a two-year project. I do think, like, eventually you're going to have an RB or a quarterback one here. Maybe 14 is about the right spot. That is 202 in a 12 team. So maybe that's a little insane. But you're going to get a future starting quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, his future outlook's great. They have to build that team up. It's not going to be this year. It's probably not going to be next year. I think it's going to be year three before Drake May is actually going to be a starter for you. But, yeah, the sky's really the limit. And if they can pair him up with the right people, Drake May should have an awesome career because he's very talented.
Yeah, agree completely. All right, 16, Ricky Parasol for the San Francisco 49ers. Low-key hated the landing spot, but, Joe, I had him at 21. You had him at 14. Josh had him at 16. What are your initial thoughts about Ricky Parasol?
Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took this dude in the first round, and those two guys do not miss, and I do not ever doubt anything they do offensively with the football. So they have a plan for Ricky Parasol. They're going to get him on the field. You know, Debo might be there. Ayuk might be there. They might be gone. Kittle's getting older too. So there's a lot of uncertainty in that wide receiving core. And Ricky Pearsall is Mr. Effin' Reliable to go with Mr. Effin' Reliable at quarterback. So, yeah, I love this landing spot for Ricky Pearsall. We're going to hear his name a lot this year.
Okay, yeah, I probably was a little lower on him than I probably should be. I just, A, don't trust Kyle Shanahan at all. Like, this could be a total situation where he takes him and then where you don't hear about him for 2 years, like Brandon Ayuk or something. But there is a chance that he just completely usurps Brandon Ayuk. They trade Ayuk midseason, and then suddenly Ricky Parasol is the two on this team in terms of, well, I guess three behind Debo. And we're not shocked at all that he's just breaking out. So maybe I'm a little lower on than I should be. But, yeah, good player. I didn't love the landing spot, but maybe I can learn to love it.
Yeah, this was one of the more shocking picks in the first round, but I love it. And, I mean, we don't know how much longer Kittle is going to be high-end tight end. That's so great.
I just didn't think they would go wide receiver in the first. But, look, I smoke them if you got them, I guess. Smoke you know, you mine them. As well. All right, 17, we had Blake Corum for the Rams. I had him at 16. You had him at 21. Josh has him at 15. I think that Kyren's workload's going to get eaten in by Corum quite a bit. Like, I think that this is going to be more of a split than we like to see, but then again, I always think something goofy like that's going to happen and I get proven wrong. So what do I know about the Rams? I don't want to learn Sean McVay's thought process, but what is your thought process behind putting him at 21?
I mean, I like Blake Corum. I liked him a lot at Michigan. I think he's very talented. He wasn't the same player after, what was it, his sophomore year when he had the injury in his freshman
year.
Yeah,
he got hurt at the
end of the season. He wasn't the same guy, and I just think that Kyren Williams proved enough last year to be the one. I'm not saying that Blake Corum's not going to eat into his stock a little bit. He's definitely going to get some carries. And at this point in the draft, I mean, when you're looking at – well, I'd probably rather have Leggett over him. I'd probably take him over A.D. Mitchell in that category. But, I mean, I just don't think Blake Corum is – ever going to be the RB1 unless there's an injury, which Kyren Williams has proven to be pretty solid. I know he got hurt for a good chunk of last year, but he didn't really have many injury problems at Notre Dame. So that's more of a fluke thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. He is I know a lot of people are pointing to his like short yardage. That's where he scored a bulk of his touchdowns. He had 27 touchdowns last year, which was insane. But bulk of them were from short yardage situations. So I can see also why people are mentioning like, well, why would they not just use Kyren for that? So you're right. Maybe. I don't know. I feel that you have a premium handcuff with Corum. Like, that's probably what you're looking at here.
I think if you have Kyren Williams, you have to prioritize Blake Corum at this point because there's really no other game in town. And really, to defend you and Josh here, I am a Kyren Williams manager, so there's a little bit of hate baked into this pick. But I stand by what I said. I do think Kyren is still the 1AA in this offense.
Thinking with your heart instead of your head, Joe. It is what it is.
Better than something else.
All right, I'll just read off the next, like, five picks, and you can just say what you like about or don't like about these players. Adonai Mitchell is 18, J.J. McCarthy, 19, Xavier Leggett, 20, Marshawn Lloyd, 21, Jalen Polk, 22, Bucky Irving, 23, and Torrey Franklin. Any of those that you either think stand out or, like, you were higher on or lower on than the consensus between us three?
Yeah, I'm going to run through a couple of these real quick. A.D. Mitchell, not 100% sold on him. Not 100% sold on the landing spot either. J.J. McCarthy could be up. You could switch Strickman and J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy has incredible weapons here. Xavier Leggett, they took him for a reason. He is a thick – I mean, he's like an A.J. Brown type player. He is a thick dude who can pick up the yards after the catch. And who better to pair your young quarterback with than a guy like that? I'm a little bit higher than him, though, most. I'll let you talk about Marshawn Lloyd. I don't really have too much to the one I really want to talk about is Troy Franklin here. I have him at 17. You have him at 30. Josh has him at 24. I just think, you know, Troy Franklin was our wide receiver four pretty much across the industry until the combine, where he did have a poor showing. But you get Bo Nix, who was his college quarterback and knows how to throw to him. You give him the opportunity in Denver, and then you give him Sean Payton on top of that. I just think it's a recipe for success. So I am much higher on Troy Franklin than we're seeing in our draft and like, others.
The only reason I have a tough time is, like, why did he fall to day three? Why did we all agree that he was probably a day two pick, probably mid-second round or late second round, early third? Why did he last all the way to day three? And that's where I have my concern, because – there's no way that 32 different evaluators all thought the same thing of like, oh, let's just get him for cheaper. Why did Luke McCaffrey go before him? Like, I have just so many questions that I'm like, it's just throwing up a red flag in my brain that I can't put down, I guess.
I can hear your argument for sure. If he would have gone anywhere else that late, probably not. But when you get him with his quarterback and you get him on a team that really needs him to do something, I like it.
Okay. I don't hate it. Back to DeMarshawn Lloyd. Me and Josh have him at 18. You have him at 25. I just think that, like, while Josh Jacobs is going to dominate this offense from a running back perspective, I just can't see how Marshawn Lloyd wouldn't make it onto the field. Like, I don't know how. Like, I agree that, like, Josh Jacobs should dominate this. He should be getting 25 touches a game. And Marshawn Lloyd shouldn't even be, but I just don't know how he doesn't get on the field somehow. Like, I've seen him up close and personal. Like, I don't know. I just believe in him for some reason that I just can't deny that I think he should be up there because I don't know. I don't know why they signed Josh Jacobs to such a long contract, knowing that this was a possibility that they could end up with baby Josh Jacobs, like the mini Josh Jacobs. Not that he's smaller in stature, just he's younger. And I don't know, because they fill the same bucket. So I don't know. But it's just hard for me not to believe he's not going to get on the field somehow.
No, you're probably right. And, I mean, the Packers did structure Jacobs' deal where they can literally get out of it any year in all 6 years. So it was a pretty smart deal on their end, even though it seemed obnoxious at the time. But I like Marshawn Lloyd. I like his talent. I also really liked Emmanuel Wilson last year. I know before he got injured. So I don't think you can completely count Emmanuel Wilson out of this backfield. And then we got to see what happens with A.J. Dillon. I assume he's gone. I know he came back, but or I don't know if they re-signed it. But I assume that he is going to be off of this team in the next year or two. So I like the landing spot. I like the talent. I just maybe I need to get him up a little bit, but where I'm at right now, I'm just kind of so-so on Marshawn Lloyd.
Yeah, I also think that we may as a consensus be low on too low on Bucky Irving. We all don't love Bucky Irving, but he did land in a pretty good spot for him to, with Rashad White and the Buccaneers, to like try to make a move to do something. Just for the running, like for the landing spot sake of it all, maybe we are too low on him, but he's 23 in our rankings right now. Maybe that is subject to change.
Yeah, no, Bucky Irving has a fantastic role. I mean, I think we need to give Rashad White credit for what he did last year. I know it wasn't as beautiful as we would have liked it to be, but they did improve this team on multiple levels. So maybe his best years are ahead of him still. But I do like the Bucky Irving landing spot. And I mean, if you're at the back end of the second, it's a great shot to take. The one I am struggling with is Jalen Polk. I mean, I've seen him go mid second at this point. I like Jalen Polk as a player. He goes onto a team where there are a ton of question marks. It's really, can he establish himself as the alpha here? Because we saw DeMario Douglas, even though he's small, play pretty well last year. We both like not Keyshawn Booty. It's the other guy's name that we were both pretty high on.
Not Tyquan Thornton either, right?
No.
The other guy.
Kendrick Bourne. You and I both Kendrick Bourne. They've got Hunter Henry there, and then they got Javon Baker as well. So I like Jalen Polk's talent. I just don't think he is like a higher mid-second talent where I've seen him go.
Yeah, I agree. This pick is just basically based on where he got drafted. I like Jalen Polk a lot more than some other people do. I've seen a lot of people like scratching their heads about it. I do like him. I did not think he was a Patriots pick type talent,
though. Right.
I thought he was a land on some other team that he could be a second or third guy, which in this offense you can fight to be the one if you really wanted to.
Yeah. No, he's got a ton of opportunity. I just don't see him profiling as the number one target on the team, but I could be very wrong there.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. We'll try to bust through these last ones really quickly. This is our third round. 25, Kamani Vidal. 26, Ray Davis for the Buffalo Bills. 27, Malachi Corley for the Jets. 28, Bo Nix for the Broncos. 29, Tyrone Tracy for the Giants. 30, Javon Baker for the New England Patriots. 31, Malik Washington for the Dolphins. Jatavion Sanders, tight end, is going to Carolina. 33, Audric Estime to Denver. 34, Will Shipley to the Eagles. 35, Brendan Rice. I can't even really remember where he went, to be perfectly honest with you. 36, Chargers. Jermaine Burton to the Bengals. And, oh, yeah, the Chargers. That's right. I'll just let you tackle anybody that you want to in this grouping right off the bat. Okay. What's one person? I'll go after that.
Do you want one person?
Well, you go one, I'll go one, and we'll just go back and forth.
All right, so this whole round is guys that have very high ceilings and very low floors, in my opinion here. Starting it off, we have Kamani Vidal, who I honestly think is going to be the starter before long if they don't add anybody. Because, I mean, I know Gus Edwards is – everyone's very high on Gus Edwards. I think he's a fine player. I don't think he is a lead your backfield type player. I think he's a two touchdowns, get him in on the goal line type guy. And then J.K. Dobbins, I mean, who outside of Donta Foreman after 5 years has recovered from Achilles tear? I just don't Kamani Vidal was a fantastic pass protector in college. He's a smaller dude. He's built like a really small semi-truck. He's fast. He can catch the ball. This seems like the kind of guy that Harbaugh would love to have running behind this offensive line. He's shifty. He does try to bounce it outside a little bit more than he should. But, I mean, I think you got a really electric player. I think they got him in the sixth round or something. Coming out of Troy, I know the competition wasn't there. Kamani Vidal needs to be higher than people are drafting him currently. I mean, we're in a league right now. We're in the fifth round, and he's still sitting on the board, which is asinine to me for a potential RB1 on this team.
So, I mean, I think we can all admit Harbaugh kind of confused the hell out of us with this draft. I really thought he was going to get Ray Davis, Marshawn Lloyd. We thought maybe Brooks was in the – we thought Corum for sure. You know, we thought for sure he was going to be the guy, right? And he passed on everybody and ended up with Vidal late. So – and this is supposed to be a run-heavy team. I am not fully for sure what in the heck is going on, if I can be completely honest with you. I think you're right. Vidal does have a chance to be the number one guy here just because simply there is no number one guy here. So, yeah, I guess I don't know. Joe, I really don't know what to make of this unless they're going to use – oh, man, I set myself up here. What's the hurt guy that came back from the Baltimore Ravens and they signed, played Baltimore, been hurt every year?
JK?
Yeah. Maybe that's what they want to go with. No. I don't know. I don't think that makes any sense, or at least not for long because he's going to get hurt. I don't know, Joe. This was one of the more confusing drafts as far as running backs go, other than the Cowboys. This was almost equally confusing.
Yeah, I mean, Vidal is someone that the industry has been fairly high on throughout this whole process, and he actually goes to one of the best landing spots in the league. And, I mean, he's 22 years old. He pretty much did everything. The only knock on him is a small school. So, I mean, I bet Harbaugh was just staring at that board like, should I take him in the third? No, probably not. Should I take him in the fourth? And then he was still there, and he's like, I got to take him now. I mean, this is really – so I think this is a guy that the Chargers were actually targeting the whole draft, and I don't know, very high on him. So I just think – I want to point it out. I mean, people are very low on him at this point, and they should not be.
For sure. All right. I meant – not going to lie, Ray Davis was the one that one that stood out to me. I put him at 27. You put him at 34. Josh put him at 21. I don't really get – I mean, Josh is way higher than I thought he was going to be on Ray Davis, but I do love it because I like Ray Davis. I just think he landed in the perfect spot for him, although James Cook is the de facto starter there. I do think, and I was mentioning this the whole draft process, that they do not want Josh Allen – bowling his way in the end zone anymore. They would prefer to hand it off to a big bodied back. And that's what Ray Davis, that's the role he can fill for them. And I think that he's going to be the short yarded situation back for them. And that's a very valuable piece to the offense still. Like, even if he's not going to get the yardage, the touchdowns may make up for that. And like, as a flex play, you really can't ask for much better than that. I guarantee he's going to be a DraftKings hero for the first like couple weeks while people are, you know, readjusting their expectations.
No, you have a fantastic point there because, you know, Ray Davis, my only knock on Ray Davis is going to be 25 by the time the season kicks off. He's a great pass catcher. I can see him getting on the field a lot. I just don't know for dynasty long-term what you're actually getting out of Ray Davis. I mean, if he's a one-year rental before they bring someone else in for that role, then yeah. They also, I mean, Frank Gore Jr. was an undrafted free agent for that team. And I actually like his game quite a lot too. So I'm a little bit lower on Ray Davis because of those factors, but he should walk into guaranteed touches right off the bat. So it wouldn't shock me if he finishes a top 30 running back.
Yeah. They're valuable. They're the Gus Edward touches. Let's put it that way. That's the kind of back we're looking at here. All right, I'll do one more before I'll hand it back over to you, and that's Javon Baker. I am at 25, you have him at 42, Josh has him at 27. I just think Javon Baker has that dog in him, and everything he's one of those guys that, like, I'm going to remember where I was drafted and all the wide receivers drafted ahead of me, yada, yada. Like, he's one of those guys, and I just think that mentality is going to get him onto this field, and I think that he is going to be a receiver that, like, we're going to look back, like, why did nobody take this guy? Like, why would we not go with him earlier? And I just think that he could be a very valuable piece for this team long-term as a deep threat.
Yeah, you're not going to get any argument for me here. I have him at 42. It's kind of the same argument I had for Polk. It's just, how does this team shake out? There's a lot of unknowns here. I know Javon Baker is extremely talented, but they kind of have six dudes on this team that do the exact same thing. And I don't see him being the number one. I could see him establishing himself as more as a number two, kind of what we saw with DeMario Douglas last year. I don't know. So I will let you have this argument. I'm not going to fight against it at all. He's one of those guys really with Polk, where I'm just having a really hard time trying to figure out how they fit in and what's going to happen. So TBD on my end for Javon Baker. I probably won't be taking him.
That's fair. That's fair. Who else in this third round group would, you know, are you banging your chest for?
My darling, my prince, Malik Washington. He goes to Miami. This is the piece that Miami was missing last year. This and Jonnu Smith, I think we're going to see a completely different Miami team this year. Jonnu Smith gives them the receiving tight end that they want, and Malik Washington is going to work those underneath routes and get the yards after the catch, allowing Jalen Waddle to actually play the position that he is intended to play, which they tried to kind of make him a tweener last year, and he was not that dude. So, I mean, Hill and Waddle are going to be your one and two. If one of them were to get injured, Malik Washington is going to be a guy that is going to be extremely valuable to have, I think, especially in a PPR. He's going to be a valuable piece nonetheless. I know he was a sixth-round pick, but we love what he did in Virginia. He's a really good player that has been slept on pretty much throughout this entire process. So I like Malik Washington a lot, and I just got him in the middle of the fifth, late fifth right now. So if you can add him at that value, put him on your bench. If an injury were to happen, or, you know, if Tyreek really does retire in a year or two like he says he is, I think Malik Washington is more of a long-term play, but a good one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. And honestly, the thought process is, and I think we both kind of saw this, when those Dolphins were in playoff games and they couldn't throw to Tyreek, they were kind of looking around at like, who the hell else do we even have? And I know Jalen Waddle was out there, but he was injured kind of in and out. And even when he was out there, you still couldn't even trust him. So who is that guy that you go to? Who is that trustable other piece that you could go to on this team that's not a running back? I think it might be Malik Washington. And I think they're going to try to get him used and try to get him involved in this offense so that he's comfortable with Tua. And that way we can kind of break up this, you know, if it's not Tyreek, who the hell else is it? I think having a weapon like this on the team could mean really good things. And I don't think Mike McDaniel makes any dumb, useless draft picks. I don't think he drafts somebody onto the team thinking, oh, well, we might use him or he might make the team in training camp. I think Mike McDaniel, when he drafts a player, knows exactly how that player is going to be used on this team. He's got a plan for them already. And although he doesn't maybe know who he's exactly going to get because that player might not be available, I think he knows the type of athlete that he needs for that position. And I think Malik Washington is a guy that will fit right in, gel right into his offense.
Yeah, 100%. This is the guy I'm extremely excited about. I think you can take the stats that River Craycraft put up and Braxton Berrios and Durham Smythe last year, just kind of put a nice little package and a bow around them, and that's what you're going to get about Malik Washington this year. So very valuable piece going very late in drafts. I'm surprised we're all just across the board on this one, pretty much the same too. I thought there was going to be a little bit more variation in our rankings.
Had he been drafted higher, he would have been higher. If he'd been not drafted at all, he probably would have been lower, but I think this was about right. All right, I only have one more that I really want to quibble with that's in this, and it's not even something me or you are talking about. It's Tyrone Tracy for the Giants. I have him at 32. You have him at 35. Josh has him at 25. Josh is not here to defend himself, but I don't think Tyrone Tracy is the answer. I don't think – like, I know that we made the tiers with the running backs. We said if a running back is drafted to the Giants, that's probably going to be an A-plus home run hit there, and they're probably, you know, yada, yada. I think that is completely not the process that we're using here. I think they kicked the can down the road on the running back position, and I think this is a Singletary team this year, and I think the Giants are going to suck on offense quite a bit.
Yeah. The Giants are going to suck on offense quite a bit. I mean, I'm willing to give Daniel Jones another benefit of the doubt, just hoping we can get something out of the Giants this year. But Tyrone Tracy was a guy that I didn't really care about, didn't really have ranked highly. My only argument for him is that Singletary is not the answer. We know that Singletary is not the answer. So he should get on the field quite a bit. Eric Gray is not going to do it. Maybe they bring someone in at camp, but if they do bring someone in, I don't think Tyrone Tracy is going to crack the rotation to be the top guy. But as of right now, if it goes into the season like this, I think you're looking at a guy that's going to put up some points this year. Not a ton, but usable.
You know what the Giants did, Joe? This is what the Giants decided to do on offense. They let Barkley walk. They're like, we're not paying you. We're not paying a premium running back. Let's see what the quarterback's got. So they stuck Daniel out at the plank of the ship and asked him to spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And if he can't do it, they're going to throw him off the ship into the water and he's going to sink into the sea. That is what the Giants are doing to poor Daniel Jones this season. It's a sink or swim situation. And if you can't make this team work, which it's not built to work, so good luck. If it doesn't work with you, we're kicking your ass out of town and we're going to draft a quarterback next year. That's literally what this Giants team's built like.
That's absolutely correct. And I love your I love the picture you painted on that one. That's absolutely correct.
I just see Daniel Jones at the end of a plank. He's blindfolded. He's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And they're like, spell us a very long word, bud. And if they can't do it, they're just sorting him off the ship, Joe. It's going to be the end of Daniel Jones, unfortunately. It's
mutiny, man.
Or he's incredible this season and we are confused as hell. One of the two things is going to happen. I don't know
which. It's more likely one or the other, he's going to suck,
though. Okay. Well, that pretty much wraps up the first 36, unless you have another one in that 36 that you wanted to mention real quick, or we can move on to these back end guys.
We can move on to the back one. Jermaine Burton, when I was watching him and I was doing the write-up on him, he plays a lot like Devonta Smith. I thought it was just the Alabama jersey at first, but then when I really broke it down, he is very Devonta Smith-like, and I think that Joe Burrow can absolutely use a piece like this. So I like drafting him and stashing him for when Higgins inevitably moves on. I think he's going to be a very valuable guy to get. So if you're sitting way back in the third and the fourth round, you don't know who to take, just take Jermaine Burton. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I like that. And I think a lot of people aren't putting together that like Tyler Boyd spot's kind of up for grabs. Andre Eusebius is going to have a chance at that. They've got a couple other players on this roster that are going to get a chance. But when camp breaks down and everybody's fighting for a spot, Jermaine, it would not shock any of us that Jermaine Burton would be taken at that spot. All right, so on to this back end. I'm not going to name all the players, but we can kind of just talk through it. My first one that I wanted to mention, and I have a just wondering for you, is Rasheen Ali. He's ranked 37. I have him at 23. Joe, you have him at 50, and Josh has him at 32. Can I explain why Rasheen Ali is okay? He got drafted to Baltimore. He is kind of built like Gus Edwards to me. Like, that is kind of the role I think he could fill for this team. And Derrick Henry's not going to be there very long. So they drafted literally a potential takeover person for Derrick Henry. And I think that makes this person on a run-heavy team like this very valuable, because they don't really have another running back on this team that could take over. And if Derrick Henry gets hurt, who else are they going to turn to? It's going to be Rasheen Ali. They're not going to bring somebody in, I don't think. I think they drafted him to play. So that's my reasoning. I think this is a very valuable draft pick, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you might have just sold him. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I have not looked at Rasheen Ali very much throughout this process. Until recently, I really had no idea what kind of player he was. My only thought, I do think Keaton Mitchell is extremely talented. So I think once he's healthy, he's going to get every opportunity to take that job. So I don't know if we're getting
I think Keaton Mitchell could be like a good gadget player for the offense, but you think he could be like the lead back on the team?
I mean, I could. I loved what I saw to Keaton Mitchell.
Okay, fair enough.
I really enjoyed watching him play. I think the Ravens have something special. As long as he comes back from that ACL, okay. I am not hating on this pick at all. I might have to tweak this in my rankings as well. This is more just I did not look into this dude a whole lot. The spot's valuable. I do like Keaton Mitchell, so I need to revisit this one for sure, and that's my honest answer.
Well, my more thought with Keaton Mitchell, not that he couldn't be the one, but like how they were, you know, once Derrick Henry's off the team, it's a flash in the pan with Derrick Henry. He's not going to be a cyborg forever. He might, you know, break down eventually. But you have Rasheen Ali as the Gus Edwards, and you have Keaton Mitchell as the better, not hurt all the time, J.K. Dobbins. So where, like, they both fill a role on this team, they're both valuable. This is a heavy run team. Like, they don't want Lamar running as much as he does. I think this will be the core of their future, potentially.
Yeah. No, I'm not arguing with you at all here. I probably have him too low. 23 definitely opens my eyes a little bit as to where I maybe should be looking at him. I don't think it's quite going to be there, but I do like him from what I've seen, and it's honestly just someone I need to revisit.
Fair enough. Who in this last bit would you like to mention or bring up?
I want to bring up Theo Johnson here, mainly because Darren Waller, we assume, did he officially retire?
Yeah, he divorced and retired. It's the worst potential scenario for a guy, I would feel like.
Yeah, and I mean, the Giants went out and got him. That is the guy that they got. I know they just, you know, sang praises for Daniel Bellinger, but this is a guy that's extremely talented. Probably the news hasn't crept into his ADP yet on here. So Theo Johnson, if you're in need of tight end help, is a great dude to get on your squad.
That's fair. It's a tough break losing Waller, but then again, like, this is just another thing. I think, like, well, Daniel Jones is doomed. Sadly, I just don't know. Don't know if it's going to work out for him. All right. I need to ask you about Tez Walker. I have him at 44. You have him at 26. Josh has him at 40. Joe, why are you so high on Tez Walker? I know you have been through the whole process. I just, like, why are you still in love with Tez Walker?
Just watching him play, man, there's something he does that's very special on the football field. And I don't know what the hell happened at the Senior Bowl where he was dropping everything, which seems to be what absolutely kind of similar to Troy Franklin with the combine. The Senior Bowl seemed to kill Devon Tez Walker. I mean, he came out at the combine. He ran a fast time. He is going to a team where no wide receiver has really established himself as a stud by any means on any of these teams. I mean, we think Rashad Bateman's going to have a breakout year. We've been saying that for seems like 4 or 5 years now. So I think Devon Tez Walker walks into a great situation to be able to kind of work with Zay Flowers and form a pretty mean tandem as far as field stretching. I mean, Devon Tez Walker could easily come in and play the deep ball role on that team. Again, the Senior Bowl, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if he got some bad news or was drunk or I don't know what the hell was happening, but he did not have as many drops in college as he had in that one Senior Bowl game. So I think Devon Tez Walker is a very talented player who has a great opportunity. You know, kind of like you were saying with Rasheen Ali, I just think he walks in and could be a piece of that team for the future. I mean, we know Andrews is going to be the big target. We know Zay Flowers was awesome last year. But I have to wonder if Zay Flowers, I mean, if we didn't see his ceiling. I mean, I don't know how much better Zay Flowers can actually be. So I do think another wide receiver is going to have to step up in that offense, be it Bateman or Walker. I would assume they're going to lean on giving Walker the shot because Bateman's coming to the end of his contract. So
didn't they just re-sign Bateman, I thought.
Did that
just happen?
I don't know.
Let me look it up real quick while we're talking. I thought they just re-signed him or something.
I mean, they might have. I like Devon Tez Walker. I have through this whole process.
Yeah, they extended him through 2026.
Okay.
Bateman. Which, I mean, that doesn't necessarily – I mean, we've seen how talented Bateman isn't, so – not that that's not saying Tez Walker can't have a chance to take that spot, because Lord knows I don't feel like he's going to be I don't think he's going to be very good. All right. I feel like we should at least mention it because it's been a big talking point and it was a huge shock during the draft. But we have Michael Penix. Me and Josh have him at 39. You have him at 36. He's stuck behind Cousins for 4 years, and he's going to be damn near 35 years old by the time that's over. I do think he's a nice, good premium backup. I would say if you have Kirk Cousins, I would definitely be snagging him on my team for Dynasty. And I do think there may be an opportunity in the next 2 years for him to take over the job. Look, Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles tear. That doesn't necessarily always ever mean that he's going to be the same quarterback or player right away, or for the rest of his life. So we don't know what is coming from Kirk Cousins. And I think this was just an insurance in case they signed him to all this money and he's not very good. And I think that's why they made this pick the way that they did. Next year's quarterback class is not very good, so there's not a guarantee that you're even going to get somebody there. They're probably going to be good this season, which means their draft pick's not going to be high again. On both hands, I can kind of see why this pick was made, why good and why bad.
Yeah. No, you hit the nail on the head. I think when they announced the pick at the draft, everyone was, what the hell? And I'm still not defending it. I mean, I think they should have gone elsewhere. But when you really dig into this, I mean, what do we actually know about Kirk Cousins' status right now? We just heard J.K. Dobbins say recovering from his Achilles tear was like recovering from a sprained ankle. Yeah, bullshit. Bullshit. Yeah, I mean, everyone feels good. Everyone's, you know, absolutely yoked this time of year. Michael Penix could be on the field this year. I think it's time that, you know, we at least talk about it. I don't necessarily – I mean, Kirk Cousins, if he is healthy and with these weapons, Kirk Cousins is playing football. There's no doubt in my mind. But Michael Penix is a good football player, and he has a lot of weapons coming in. And, I mean, Kirk, like you said, might not ever get back to what we saw Kirk Cousins before the injury. So I think Penix might be on the field more quickly than we are anticipating here.
I think they bought premium insurance, Joe. That's what they did. I know he's old, but I think they saw him as maybe the most ready to play right now quarterback of the ones that were going to be available, mind you. And I think that's why they did it. And I don't hate it. Don't know if I would spend a pick eight on him, but they also knew, Joe, that they weren't going to get him any later. He was going to get drafted by one of the teams behind them. So I don't love the call, but I understand the call. I do.
And they could probably tell by their phones, their own phones. They didn't have to do any scouting. They could probably tell who was calling them because no one thought they were going to take Michael Penix. And they were like, oh, yeah, shit, we should probably take him right here because we're not going to get him any other time. So,
yeah. And not telling Kirk was a bold strategy, but at the same time, why would you? Why would you tell Kirk Cousins that you were going to do that? And that you're scared about his injury and you're not sure, you know, if he's going to even be ready to play week one. We assume he's going to be. We don't know it, and they don't either. And why? Like, I understand why they didn't tell him. I get it. I think that was a silly story, and a lot of people made a lot more of it than probably should have.
Yeah, I can see the initial shock there. But, I mean, if anything, if Kirk Cousins is injured, he's a phenomenal coach for Michael Penix. I mean, Kirk Cousins is that dude. Teams love him. He's a great leader. So even if he's injured, he can provide a lot of value to this team. So I don't know. I don't hate it as much.
Plus,
as I
I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. Kirk should know this firsthand. He was literally drafted in round three at in a draft where they drafted RG3 in the first. And he was a wonderful insurance policy for Washington once RG3 got hurt. This is that scenario, Kirk. Literally, it's just you're 35 now, and they don't know if he goes on the field, might get hurt again, and then their whole season's shot. Were they going to trust Taylor Heineke again? They know what road that leads down. Why not get somebody else in there? No, it's not. Yeah. And there's not somebody available either that's going to come in and Joe Flacco it either. Like that very rare scenario there. So. I get why
Penix gets a lot of hate, man. I actually feel bad for the dude after how this all shook out because he's a good quarterback. He's had injury problems, unfortunate injury problems, but he just took a team to the national championship and looked damn good doing it, except for in the national championship game. But
had he lost to Texas, Joe, he probably would have been a top five pick. Like, that's the worst part. They played Texas, kind of like CJ Stroud when he played Georgia. Had he just played Texas and lost the game but looked like he did against them in that game, probably would have been a top five pick. But because he went out and played the best team in the country, Michigan, and that defense was made of NFL players, like he was unable to do it the same. So, and that took him down. But I don't know. Whatever the case may be. All right, Joe, we have gone on for way too long here, but is there anybody else you want to wrap us up with?
Yeah, I'm going to do two guys real quick. A.J. Barner is very talented. He kind of moves like a wide receiver. know Noah Fant is in Seattle right now, but he's a guy for the future that you should have your eyes on, and he's essentially free. And then Billy's boy, Ryan Flournoy, Simo Especial. We saw Michael Gallup just sign with the Raiders. We know Cooks is there. Tolbert has not played out to this juncture here. Ryan Flournoy is very talented, even though he played at Simo, still a D1 school. But Dak could really like having this dude on his team as more of a possession guy, which they really – I mean, Lamb's a possession guy in the middle and the slot, but as an outside possession guy, Ryan Flournoy could be that dude. So had to highlight him.
Nah, I love Flournoy. I thought he was – he literally caught all of the garbage balls that were being thrown from Penix and Nix during the Senior Bowl. I really liked what he could do as a safety blanket, and if he can just be that for Dak and not – you know, because I don't think Brandon Cooks is well past his safety blanket days. So you have CeeDee Lamb and then others. I think he could potentially carve out a better role on this team than what Tolbert has done and be useful and good for fantasy.
He's extremely talented, and when you can find those Simo highlights, man, he caught everything. It was like the floor is lava, and he disengaged that defensive back on several occasions and ran back like 15 yards to make a diving catch because the quarterback was so horrible. If you listen to the show, guy, but
he's got great hands, that is for sure. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We have talked about like a lot of rookies, and I think we did a pretty good job going in depth. Luckily, we didn't have Josh here to meander us around his draft picks and his leagues, because then we would never be off some of these topics. So I think that we navigated this pretty well, at least for, you know, how we did it, which is good. But, all right, go out and get the rookie guide. We're telling you all of this stuff that we just talked about and more is in that guide. We're going to be talking about landing spots, and we talk about kind of a fancy blurb from each thing. Joe, get us out of here.
Guys, it was fun, and thanks for sticking with us. We've researched these rookies for a long time, and now we have them on a team, so it's all we want to talk about right now. So thanks for riding with us, and good night.
Thunder up, too.